How's it haunting, everyone? I'm Chris.
And I'm Lena.
And this is the How's It Haunting podcast. How are you doing today, Lena?
I'm tired. Can you hear me? I'm tired. Can you hear it in my voice?
I can hear the mild defeat in your voice that you're tired. I'm tired.
So tired. I couldn't sleep last night, so.
Was it paranormal?
No. I just couldn't sleep.
Then we don't have to talk about it.
That's why I didn't elaborate.
It's like, no, couldn't sleep. Not paranormal, just fucking couldn't sleep. It happens like that sometimes, guys. Sometimes we just can't sleep, and it's not paranormal.
It's paranormal when I do get a good night's sleep.
If I get a good night's sleep, something weird going on.
Right?
Either that or I'm heavily medicated. So all sleep talk aside, what is this week's topic?
It's not a topic. We are interviewing a paranormal investigator.
We have paranormal investigator Amber. There she is. Hold on. Got to add you in. Oh, she did a be right back. She's trying to run away. Grab her. We don't have a channel, so we don't really use our video. This is okay. Just so people don't think that we're weird.
You're weird.
We're weird, but we're not that weird.
Not in that way, he means.
Yeah, not in that way. Today we have Amber with us. Amber is a paranormal investigator.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
We're excited too. And she is going to share with us some of her investigative stories, give us a little background and how she started. So, Amber, how's it haunting?
Pretty well.
The more the merrier.
Yeah, everything's going really good. I've got quite a few places lined up for this year. I'm really excited.
So when did you get started on your paranormal path? At what age did you say, you know what, I'm just going to start chasing these ghost things that everybody talks about?
I would say probably around 23, 22, somewhere around there. I had my very first prominent ghost experience when I was 15. That's what really got me into it. And then I didn't talk about it for a while.
Oh, wow. Well, you got to talk about it now. So let's.
That's what I was just about to say. Okay, let's do this.
Now's the time.
So when I was 15 years old, we had just moved into this new house. I started experiencing a lot of things that I had never experienced before. So this was around the time when Ghost Adventures was kind of just coming out. My mom was into it. And also A Haunting was really popular around that time too. So I had kind of heard about different things, but I had never experienced anything. I had just moved into this new house with my boyfriend at the time. So yes, I was 15. Yes, I was a rebel. I didn't live with my mom. So I was living with him and they had gone to this new house and I started hearing my name being called very frequently. And at first it was kind of just like whispers. And then it got to the point where it was like yelling my name and other people could hear it too. And that's when I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm not crazy. Because you would just hear it and it would go, Amber, like really quietly. And you were like, okay, well. And then other people started hearing it and there was a lot of footsteps and doors would close and open and things would come up missing or moved and stuff like that. And then it really escalated as emotionally. I started feeling very isolated and very depressed. Some things happened, which I mentioned in my YouTube channel, but a lot of physical things kind of happened around that time. And I happened to meet a psychic who said that I had an attachment. So I kind of dealt with that for a little while. That's what really pushed me.
How long did this attachment last?
I'd say probably about a year, maybe a year and a half.
Was it something that you would see or just hear?
Actually, I think it was a little bit of both. I would kind of see shadows then and again, and I really didn't know what that was. I remember waking up a few times in the middle of the night, and I would feel like hot breath on my face. You could hear the breathing and you could feel it. And then you'd turn and there would be nothing there. And you were like, wait, what's going on? So, and then there was an incident where my boyfriend at the time, we were fighting really badly in this bedroom and the door had a gap, almost an inch gap between the door and the frame. So it never really shut properly. So we had one of those like latches and we were fighting about something. And he used to do this thing where he would grab his family and ask their opinion, like it was going to help. So I remember he went to go get them and he unlocked the latch and he went to go pull open the door and the door would not come open. And we were stuck in that room. It felt like 5 minutes, but honestly, it probably wasn't that long. And he was just yanking on this door and it never shut properly. So I couldn't understand why it was there. So we thought that somebody was holding it. Mm-hmm. And we were like, let go of the dang door. And we were screaming because I felt so trapped. He finally yanks open the door and there's nobody standing there. And we're turning around the corner and the stairs are right next to our room. And the whole house is made out of wood, so you definitely would have heard somebody running down the stairs real quickly. So he runs down the stairs and he's like, who the heck was holding the door? And everybody was so confused. They had no clue what was going on. That really scared me.
Do you think all that negative energy that was built just kind of powered it to keep you in spot?
Yeah, I think so. I did meet with that psychic and she did, there was some stories from her where she kind of showed it to me. And so I'll tell you this story. She sensed that I didn't really believe her. And she was like, well, you know, let me take a picture with you in it and I will ask him to present himself. So she had this flip phone. This was back in 2008, 2009. I don't really know if flip phones had those apps on them, but I don't remember. She said, let me take a picture of you in this hallway. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll just take this picture. I took the picture and she asked him to present himself and she showed me what she caught. And it was this man standing next to me and he was taller than me, significantly taller. He had a top hat on and he was in a completely red outline. And you could see everything behind him and it was very like pixelated, but his shoulder went over my shoulder and turned my shoulder into like red and pixelated and it scared the crap out of me.
Oh,
okay. I know. Go ahead, Chris. No, Chris.
No. I want Lena to go next because I want to make sure we're on the same train here because I think we are, but I want Lena to take over this part. Go ahead.
You've heard of the Hat Man. Anything like that?
So I actually did not know of the Hat Man. So I started investigating publicly within the past like year and a half. I did a lot of private stuff with people that I knew and I was trying to help them through their attachments and stuff like that. I came out, sort of say, like publicly online, and I was talking to some people that I had met, and this guy told me about his attachment, and he said, oh, it was the guy with the top hat too. So we were kind of exchanging stories, and he said, have you ever heard of the Top Hat Man? And I'm like, no, I have no clue what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, you have to look into it. There's this entity called the Top Hat Man. And I don't know much about the Top Hat Man, but I do hear that people do say the same thing, except I think people say that they've only seen it like once or twice and normally it doesn't stick around for that long. So I don't know.
Well, you're not wrong. I'll tell you that. Yeah, the Hat Man's been one of those topics that Lena and I are just not ready to tackle just yet. At least I'm not. I totally get it. It sounds like that's what it is. And considering you only had that attachment for a year.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But going back to the attachment, at what point did your fear go to, I'm going to just charge this thing and get rid of it? Because you were only 15. I mean, that's a pretty young age to start saying, you know what, I need to deal with this.
I was very scared of it for the longest time. I just remember being terrified, like, oh my God, when is this going to be over? Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And I remember meeting with the psychic who talked to me, and she said that it's going to continue to feed off of my negative energy until I can be more positive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really worked on that for a while. At one point, I was like, listen, I don't want you around. You're not welcome here. You're not allowed to take my energy kind of thing. And that's kind of when it started losing some of its power.
How were you able to get it to fully let go of you?
That happened over time. I think it was just changing everything in my life that I didn't view positively.
Makes sense.
It's a good outlook. You should always be positive anyway.
Yeah.
It does help. House and Haunters, stay positive in life. All good things will come. Attachments will go away. At 15 years old, you have these issues. You see these things. You hear, you know, you have the breath at night. You see shadows, things like that. Who was the first person that you tell? And how did they take it?
Definitely talked to my boyfriend about it. He was my boyfriend at the time. We're not together anymore. And he was kind of, I don't really think he believed me at first. And then he kind of started hearing like my name being called and stuff like that. And then he was like, well, maybe there is something going on. Especially when that incident happened where he couldn't open that door. And then I know that I went and I told my mother about it. And my mom, she was like, okay, Amber, like, whatever. So then I kind of went, well, if my mom doesn't believe me, I don't know who else is going to believe me. So I really didn't talk about it.
That does hit hard when you go to someone close and they just don't believe you.
Just to paint my mom in a better picture, I have talked to my mom since. She said that Ghost Adventures really opened her eyes about everything. And she did apologize.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
Her first reaction is like, oh, this kid's crazy. She's not wrong. Because if certain things didn't happen to me in my life, I would probably react the same way. It's like, okay, you know, we need to take you to counseling. There's something going on. Or stop smoking all that stuff or share so I can see it too. So she's not wrong. She's not a bad person. People are not bad for not believing. Everybody either believes or doesn't believe. So it's all okay.
Yeah.
There's some things I say are like, okay, you need to be quiet now. Nobody needs to hear about that stuff.
No, it's okay.
Shut up, Chris. We're at the bank. I'm like, it's okay.
It's okay.
What's next on your agenda to investigate?
So the next place that I have booked is actually for this coming Monday, and it's Whispers Estate. I hear a lot of things about them. I was reading on their website earlier, and they were saying there was a lot of deaths there. There was a doctor who performed in the house back in, I don't know, like the 1800s or something like that. They said they were like an orphanage or something like that, and they would adopt kids, and some of the kids had died during the course of living there.
Well, when you go on Monday, how long do you plan on being there?
When I do investigations, I'm normally only there for 5 to 6 hours. It really just depends. I do have kind of a time limit because I do have kids, so I have to be home in the morning. Right. So that way my boyfriend can go to work. So it's not, you know, a lot of places they offer you like 8 to 4, or like sometimes you get lucky and they offer you all night, all the way till like 7 or 8 in the morning. And I can never do those. I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta be home. I can't.
So many mom investigators.
Yeah.
Trying to fit that into their schedule. I can just imagine.
It's rough.
How many places have you investigated to date?
I don't know.
Well, how many well-known places, we'll say?
Well, I definitely did Trans-Allegheny. I've done like Hinsdale House, Hillview Manor. I don't know if Twin City Opera House is well-known.
I've heard of that one, yeah.
I've heard of it.
Madison Seminary, Fairfield County Infirmary, Cleveland Death Car. I'd say around 10.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Good for you. Do you have family members that are like, hey, Amber, I need you to come over and check out my house. I think there's something going on.
My sister's boyfriend did contact me and ask me. So yeah, it does happen. And my mom said that there was stuff going on at her house last summer. And she said it only happened after I visited. So she said that it was my fault.
How many times do we get that? We get that a lot, don't we? Everybody says that. It's like, how you bring the ghost.
I'm like, I'm sorry.
I would take credit for it. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do.
Okay. He'll come back. Just watch him.
Be nice to me in Christmas time because you know what? I'm the only one that can take it away.
Yeah.
Of course you would go there.
So where's your dream location?
I would love to do Bobby Mackey's. So I just moved to Indianapolis and I'm 2 hours away. I'm really hoping to do that one this year.
Yeah, that sounds fun. That one's been done a few times and every time somebody goes, they find something.
Yeah. And then I really like to do Loftus Hall. I think it's in Ireland. It's like the Bobby Mackey's of over there.
Nice. What place scared you the most on an investigation?
I would say probably Madison Seminary was the place that scared me the most. And it's because whenever you go to these locations, there's, especially if you watch a lot of TV, there's this misconception that whenever you get there, stuff is just happening and happening. Mm-hmm. And investigations aren't like that. So a lot of the times you'll be sitting, you'll be waiting for stuff to happen. And sometimes it gets really boring. But Madison Seminary wasn't like that. We had stuff happen as soon as I walked in, and I wasn't even filming. I was setting up all the cameras. We had gone on the tour, and they said that there was a little girl there named Sarah who they think is a demon pretending to be a little girl. So my team member is kind of put off by that because she's a little scared. So we're talking about that, and she said, oh, what do you think about Sarah? And all of a sudden, these footsteps come running up on us, and we're like, wait, what the heck? And I'm not even filming, so I'm trying to turn on my camera really quickly. And it said, like, SD card not working, and it just would not film anything. So I told her, I said, let's get out of the building. Let's collect our thoughts real quick, and then we'll go back up. And that's what we did. And then I do have that footage of us going back up, and we sat down for a spirit box session, and the spirit box would just not stop talking. And there's a point where she asked me again, she said, what do you think about you know who? And through the spirit box, it said, Sarah, Sarah, Sarah. So I was super scared on that investigation.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. That's kind of awesome.
For us, it's awesome. For you, it's not so awesome.
What's one of the things you wish you would have known when you started doing investigations that you have learned?
Maybe to just cool it. I don't, like, in a good way, though. When I kind of first started, I was like, oh, everything is paranormal. It's all paranormal. Orbs, and this is all paranormal. And then I kind of quickly realized, I was like, wait, I'm wrong. Like, this is not, no. And then I kind of took a step back, and I was like, well, I need to seriously review, like, what my equipment is and what it does, because some of that equipment is misleading. And I really took the time to kind of filter out what I wanted and what I didn't want. And then I was like, do I really want to put that out there that I, you know, like I'm in support of this of this equipment when I know that it doesn't work? And I was like, I don't. So I got rid of it. So I really did a lot of evaluating as far as what was actually paranormal and what was, you know, what could I debunk? And that's kind of what I do a lot in my YouTube videos is I'm always like, well, there could be an animal in the building, but, you know, I'm not too certain kind of things.
I like that kind of thinking because I get annoyed when you're watching a show and they're like, oh, you heard that. And you're like, okay, was there an animal around? Like you're in the wilderness. It could be in the walls.
When we did Madison Seminary, we heard scratching on the wall and we were in Sarah's room and we were like, wait, what is that? So on our way in, we found a net and we were like, what the heck is this net for? So I made a joke and I was like, well, it's probably a raccoon because there's a net. I don't know why they have a net in the doorway.
Catch ghosts. Yeah. That's what it's for. It's a ghost net. I have one.
What's it, Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. That's how you do it. Pull the mask off and it's Old Man Withers. Everybody knows that. That's kind of like how we do it. We've had our experiences. We've seen things and we wouldn't be doing this unless we've had. And sometimes you got to go, you know what? That's just not paranormal.
Yeah. And it kind of sucks like because like the biggest thing that ever happened in my life was that attachment. And I think about it all the time. And I'm like, I really wish I would have been an investigator at that point because I would have asked so many questions. I would have done so many things. And now I'm like, it's over. I can't even do any of that.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
I know.
It's like, somebody call my name. Back. Amber, you calling me? I haven't seen you in a long time. What's up, girl? Let me get my hat. Yeah, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite tools that you use for investigation besides yourself? What's like your favorite?
Oh, I love EVPs. Just because they're the simplest thing. You know, me and another female are in a building and we're all alone and we get an EVP of a male. That right there shows you that that's like indisputable. You cannot just dismiss that, especially when you're the person in the building and you know dang well that you didn't make a noise and there's a clear sentence that's responding to what you're saying. That's my favorite thing. I love EVP and I like spirit box a lot.
The static in between kind of bugs me. It's just like,
oh, bad.
I like when I review it. I mean, I'm sitting at home and all I hear is, it gives me a headache. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get through this.
Well, we gotta put this out there. There's three of us. Come on, guys. Whoever's controlling this stuff is 2021. Can we get one without the static?
Can we just stop? I know that they made the portal device, which is supposed to get rid of most of it, but then I haven't used one, but I've definitely heard it on through video and I'm like so confused. I'm like, I can't even tell like what's words.
It happens like that sometimes.
Yeah.
One more thing, going back to your Instagram, you just purchased a Ouija board.
I did. Yeah.
Have you used it yet?
I have. So I'm working on this project. I'm working on a 7-day trial of using the Ouija board, trying to get it to work. I really want to see if the claims of the Ouija board are actually credible. I know a lot of people say that you can open portals with it and you can speak to demons and you can speak to the devil and all this stuff. And that's really what I was trying to focus on. So I went online. I asked a lot of people, you know, have you had an experience or what do you think, you know, I could try? And a lot of people said, don't ever use the Ouija board and not say goodbye. And that's what I did to try to see if I could get anything. I have not gotten anything yet. So I did wait a couple days to see if there was increased activity in my house or anything. And I haven't had any activity since I've moved here. So I was a little disappointed, but I'm going to keep trying at it. I think I do need to bring it to a haunted location to give it a fair chance. But the reason why I haven't overly done that is because the premise is that anybody could just buy it and just open a portal. And that's what I was really trying to investigate.
You don't worry about the whole attachment. You're saying, you know what? This is a thing where we can talk to whoever wants to come through. I'm just going to leave this open see whoever comes through. You've had this attachment for a year when you were younger and dealt with all that stuff. You're pretty brave as far as dealing with all that. You're not like a skeptic going, this is all BS.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I do believe in the darker sides of the paranormal. I was always taught that the only way that they would attach themselves to you is if you had something like you were feeding them with like negative energy. And I'm the type of person, I'm just so dang positive about everything, I guess. Like somebody could do me wrong and I'm just like, okay, cool. Like I really don't care. I just don't have really anything in my life that's negative. And that's what I really try to focus on. And that's how I kind of prep before I do investigations. And I think that's why I'm not too concerned about attachments.
Is that the only way you protect yourself, is just making sure it's positive, or do you do anything else?
I really do a lot of trying to make sure that I'm positive. I do a lot of meditation. Yeah, but mostly it's just positivity. I don't really have a religion or a belief or anything like that. Oh, yeah, okay. I know a lot of people kind of like, they have like a necklace that they wear or they do a prayer or something, but I'm not like that. I don't do that. But everybody's got their own way how they do it, so.
Oh, it's very interesting to hear the different ways that people protect themselves and how it works for them. Keep that positive energy up because it's definitely protecting you. And we feel it. I feel the positive energy. You know, you're like a genuine positive person. Yes. So this has been really cool, to be honest.
Energy, like just excited.
It wakes you up a little bit.
I'm just always excited about everything. Yeah.
Don't be too excited about this podcast. It's, it's just us.
Terrible. Don't be excited.
I'm kidding. You're really going to get an attachment now. They're like, no, you went on that fucking podcast. You need to be haunted. We're going to get you now.
Girl. We're done.
I told you not to go, Ember. I wish you had like something. I mean, okay, I better not say that. I was going to say, I wish you had something bad happen to you on the Ouija board. But it would have made for like a good story. But yeah.
Yeah, just an
experience. Experience.
I'm still waking up.
So I was looking and I was reading on a couple different websites that some scientists have theorized that there's like a subconscious reaction when people move the board. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I was going for. And I was like, okay, well, if I can get the board to move, what I want to do, I've seen that they were doing this study where they were blindfolding the users and then they were turning the board when people weren't looking to see if it would actually spell anything out. And they said they didn't get anything. So I was like, well, if we're already there testing it, I might as well try that test. But I couldn't get the board to work, so I couldn't do the test. So I'm hoping to maybe, I don't know if I could find somebody that's willing to do it. Probably not. But if I could get it to work, I would want to do that test.
I'm sure there's people out there that are willing to do it.
Yeah, I hope so.
With all the followers, you'll find at least one who would.
Absolutely. Do you want to be the video? Like, yeah, I want to be the video.
Want to be famous? Come on over here. When you do the Ouija board, when you have your sessions, is it just you?
Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes it's my boyfriend. There was a couple of different things that I heard. Some people said, don't use an odd number of people because that's bad. That's negative. It'll attract negative energy. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to use myself because that's an odd number of people. And then some people said, don't use it by yourself because then they'll take advantage of you. So I was like, okay, well, two birds with one stone. Let's just do it. So they said, don't use it without saying goodbye. And then they also said, don't use it without doing a salt circle. So I did all of those things. And then my boyfriend was like, well, let's throw down a salt circle. So we tried doing that. And then he's very, I don't want to say he's religious, but he does have his beliefs. Mm-hmm. So he was like, let's cast a circle, call upon the spirits, all that. And we tried that and that didn't work either. So I was asking people like what they thought that helped them be able to get it to work. So I was going to try that. I did like day four and I was like, well, let's just wait a little bit, see if any activity happens and then I'll pick it back up.
It's interesting.
That is interesting. I like that experiment.
Other things.
Yeah, I didn't know about the salt circle or...
I've heard about it, but I've never known anyone to do the salt circle.
I tried it the very first day that I bought it and I couldn't get it to work. I was trying to kind of combine ideas to try to see what was working. And the thing is, there's so many YouTube videos of people using it and like getting nosebleeds and all this stuff happening. And I'm like, I don't know if they went through as much stuff as I did to get it to work. Why does it work for them, but it's not working for me? So I was like, what am I doing wrong?
Too much positive energy.
Too much positive energy.
Possible.
How would you feel? I mean, once that thing started to move, it's just you, Ouija board, a dark room, and it starts to move. What do you do next?
I feel like I would be skeptical about it. I would be like, okay, am I the person that's moving it without realizing that I'm moving it? And then I would go from there and test from there with the blindfold. And then I had four different cameras on it. So I would then turn it a bunch of times and then put the planchette back on and then see if I could get it to work.
I like that. So even when you're by yourself, you have the cameras going and you feel it moving, you're like, no, there still has to be, let's see if we can find a logical explanation first. Yeah. And then we'll move on to the paranormal.
Well, it's a great approach. I like the science part of the paranormal. You know, I evaluated all my equipment and I was like, how does this work? Like, how is this scientifically giving me results? I feel like I do the same when it comes to things like the Ouija board. I'm like, how scientifically does that work? And I think that's my main question is, how does science explain what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the main question that I want to answer, but I'm not a scientist, so I don't think I'll ever be able to answer that question. But I feel the same way when it comes to like pendulums or like dowsing rods kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's like a subconscious reaction.
Personal experience. That's valid. Yeah. We all have to test out what we have to see how it works for us. I really hope that you get something that you can put out for the Ouija board, but just not something terrible. You know what I mean?
There are so many people who want to see something happen, and not in a bad way, but they just want validation that everything that they've done with the Ouija board prior is real. And I was hoping to have something happen so that way I could show them and try to be able to even slightly comprehend why it works, or, you know, why this happens or that happens. And just nothing has happened. And I can't tell if I'm disappointed. Because, like, I'm disappointed that nothing happened. But then again, I'm like, maybe it is a subconscious mindset. Maybe I'm too, like, I don't believe in it. Maybe that's why it's not happening. But then I think about it scientifically and I'm like, how does that scientifically work?
Mm-hmm.
So I end up more confused than I was to begin with.
I want you to do it so I don't have to. That's what it is. You said you're a mom. And this is, as a dad, this is the thing that I have trouble with. And Lena and I have talked about this privately before. The whole investigation thing, we put that off because we have children. The baby of my house is 12, so he's not that young. I'm not sure how old your children are, but do you worry about that affecting them in any way? Or is your positive energy just so fucking awesome that it's like a barrier around your house?
I think her energy is just so fucking
it
awesome.
It is. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just, because if she relies on that, then I'm like, I'll buy it.
I really don't worry too much. So we did live in a house where my daughter was being like, I don't want to say terrorized, but bothered by this spirit. She said it was a female who would just float up to her window. We were on the second floor. She said it would just float up to her window and ask her to let her in. And I remember it terrifying her so bad. I try to teach them that, you know, ghosts aren't something to be afraid of, and that they were just like us. They're, you know, they want friends, things like that. And I think, well, if something was happening, I think that I would know that it's happening, because my kids aren't the type of kids to just keep things. She's a blabbermouth. She would definitely tell me. But my kids are on the younger end. So 8 and 10, I feel like they would definitely tell me if something was happening, and then I could handle it from there. But for the most part, I just think that things don't follow me home.
That's because
I'm too positive. They're like, whatever, we're not dealing with that. This girl's annoying. We're not. No.
Not annoying.
Not annoying. No, not at all.
Well, before we let you go, a couple questions.
Yeah.
And we ask this to everybody, but if you don't have one, that's fine. What is the first paranormal movie that scared you? And at what age?
I would say the Paranormal Activity movie, the original one, scared the crap out of me. And listen, I was probably like 17 or 18. And it just scared the crap out of me. Maybe because I related to it, like, with my attachment.
Mm-hmm.
But I was definitely scared of all of them. I was like, oh my God. I don't want to deal with that.
See, I thought you'd be like, fuck this, hold my beer, when it comes to the Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely like that now, but I wasn't like that when I was younger. I was very scared of it when I was younger. But now I'm like, whatever, I don't even care, bring it on. Like,
that was going to be my next question, too. Are you just like an old hand right now? It's like when something happens, you're like, I got it. No matter where you're at, you have to investigate. Do you find yourself charging in as opposed to being more cautious about things?
Oh, yeah. Now I'm like, whatever. Like, see what this building has to offer kind of thing. I did a special event with my friends from work at Hillview. So we all paid for the building to have a private night at Hillview. And I was basically just teaching them about ghost hunting. And I remember somebody was saying that they kept seeing these blue lights down the hall. And I was like, well, I don't know why you'd see blue lights. So I remember we were all kind of watching down this hall, and all of a sudden we see blue lights, and I just ran. I was like, where is it coming from?
You just charged it in.
They were like, why are you running? I was like, I got to figure it out. Like, if you let it just go away, you won't figure it out.
Come on, guys. I have positive energy. Let's go.
Let's go. It's okay.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Do you have a hometown haunt? Do you have like one place around your area that's just really freaking haunted?
I've moved around quite a bit. I grew up in Grand Traverse. So Traverse City in Michigan is where I grew up. I just moved from Pennsylvania. So at the age of 18, I moved to Pennsylvania. I lived in Newcastle for a while. And now I live in Indianapolis. In my actual hometown of Traverse City, they have the Grand Traverse Hospital. And I remember hearing a lot about it, like, growing up. And I had gone there recently, but they actually don't allow investigations. So what they did is they tore down some of the other buildings. It was a series of, like, 4 or 5 buildings. They would put people who were in the hospital, like, if they had to stay for, like, a week for whatever, they would put them in those buildings. Like, the family members of people who had, like, cancer and stuff could stay. And I remember being in one of those buildings at one point for the birth of one of my daughter's nephews or something on her dad's side. And I remember her saying that she thought it was really haunted because she heard screams at nighttime. So I had gone back recently, probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And what they did was they tore all of it down but one major building, and they put a trinket shop in it. So they don't allow investigations, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Last question. What is your favorite place to investigate? Like, you just want to keep going back.
My favorite place is probably Hillview. And it sounds really lame, but Hillview is just very laid back. There's just an energy about Hillview that's so welcoming. I know the tour guide so well. I know the owner. I used to live right down the street. So I went a lot.
That is cool.
Actually, he let me host my first event there, and I sold 15 tickets. And I was like, oh my God, like, my first event, we sold 15 tickets. I donated all the money that I made to them to help them with their building, because the previous owner didn't take very good care of it. But it's under new ownership now. So, and I remember going on the private event that we did. And as soon as I walked in, I turned on the spirit box and it said, it's Amber, she's here. And I was super excited.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So yeah, I would say Hillview.
That is so cool. Now, does your significant other believe 100% like you do?
He does, yes. But he's kind of a scaredy cat. We used to live in this other house where we had a lot of activity. And at nighttime, he would like see something or hear something. And he'd be like, Amber, go check it out. Go check it out. And I'd have to go check it out instead of him. He doesn't really go because he's too scared.
Is he like, I deal with the live people. You deal with the dead people. Yeah. Go check that out.
He's like, I'll just stay and watch the kids. You can go.
That's like, valid. You're like, oh, thanks. There I appreciate that.
Okay, thanks.
Obviously, you're going to come across people who don't believe. What's your favorite thing to say when they're like, oh, that's what you do? Like, what's your comeback?
I just say, you know, like, it's not for everybody, I know. And then I'll kind of like laugh about it. And then I'll be like, but if you want to check it out, you know, there's some pretty compelling things on my YouTube channel. And then I usually say something like, you don't have to check it out or whatever. But, and then sometimes they'll laugh at me and I'll just be like, okay, that's cool. Like, it's fine. Like I said, it's not for everybody, but I do enjoy the skeptics, because a lot of the skeptics raise the questions that some paranormal investigators don't think of. And that's what I really enjoy, is because then they mention the question and I'm like, wait, you're kind of right about that. Let me see if I can get some answers for you. So I do kind of welcome that.
Going to skeptics, what's your favorite common myth that you get to prove that changes their mind?
I think a lot of it is like, they'll make comments about how like TV show is hyped up. And I will agree, some TV shows are hyped up. And then they'll say, oh, well, all like the EVPs are fake. And then I'll be like, well, I have some EVPs where like you can clearly see that it's only two females in a building and it's a male voice. And typically I'll show them and they'll be like, oh, well, that's pretty cool. And then sometimes I do get the chance, like those people who were friends of mine from work, to take them. And then they're like, wait, I actually kind of believe everything now, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome to see them change. Yeah. You see that whole dynamic and you're like, yes, I did it. I got a believer.
You know what? That's interesting that you bring up work. Do you find sometimes you go in there and there are some people like, oh no, here comes that ghost girl again?
I used to get made fun of a lot at the one store that I worked at because, well, for one, I was super miserable. I got treated really poorly because I was a female. So I dealt with that for a really long time. And then I said, well, screw it. I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to get paid more and they're going to treat me better. I actually worked at a zoo and I loved that job. I'm so sad that I had to give that up to move. You know, everybody there was just so accepting. Even if they didn't believe in what I believed in, we always found common ground to just talk, even like slightly on the degree of the paranormal. So like the one girl, she didn't really believe in the whole ghost thing, but she was a big advocate for Bigfoot. And I was like, oh, I love Bigfoot. So we would always chat about that. And then some people, they just weren't into the whole ghost thing. So I wouldn't talk to them about it. I'm not too pushy. And we'd always find things to talk about. It wasn't too big of an issue.
Well, that's good. As we say, everybody's entitled to what they believe. I find that just some people just don't want to believe and don't want to hear anything that'll change their mind. But then they still listen to the podcast, which is awesome. So I say, yeah, keep listening.
There's a kid that I used to work with and he was like, why would you even pay money to go to haunted places, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, so that way they can fix up the building. That's what the money goes towards. And he's like, well, that's dumb. Shouldn't the building be decrepit if it's haunted? And I was like, no.
There's a common misconception that it has to be old and run down and decrepit for it to be haunted. And that is not true.
No, it does not.
And we just found out, what, a couple weeks back that a car can be haunted. So anything's possible.
Yes.
I've never experienced it, but that would be pretty cool.
We saw it. Yeah. we got to witness it on one of the interviews. So yeah, it was interesting.
That's pretty cool. I did that Cleveland Death Car. Yeah, if you're not too familiar with it, it's a train car. There was an accident that happened and it ended up colliding with another train. And that specific car had tipped over and it was pinned up against the steam engine and all the steam came in and killed everybody that was in it. I think there was 26 people. And they say that it's haunted. So we went and did an investigation there and I got some really cool spirit box and I got a couple EVPs from there.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's a very unique place.
I have all these questions in my head that I just can't sort out.
So when you see Chris staring, it's him thinking. It's process.
I go into my zone. Still trying to wake up.
I know you're not a big person on negativity, but what's one of the biggest failures that you had to deal with investigating?
I had gone to Trans-Allegheny, and I thought it was going to be the best investigation ever because everybody always hypes it up. So being unexperienced, I had booked a public event. I was like, I'm going to do this public event, and where are going to get so much stuff? And I was like, I'm going to book it in January, so nobody's there. Well, I guess I'm not the only person that thought that. And there was like 60 people there. It's like, it was like January 10th, so it was freezing, and we were there for 6 or 8 hours. But what they did was, there's 4 floors for the main building, and they put like 15 people on each floor, and you get that floor for 2 hours, and then they switch you to another floor, which makes a lot of sense. But when you're in a building like that, and you're trying to investigate, you're trying to get EVPs, all you can hear are the people above you. And then you got people down the hall yelling and screaming. You know, people are wearing boots. And I was like, this is just a total disaster. I was like, I will never do that again. I was very disappointed.
That sounds like good advice, too, for other people.
That's why people trespass, or they're guaranteed nobody else will be there.
Yeah. So unless if somebody else is trespassing.
Oh, that's true, too. Or squatting. Hey, guys, don't do that.
My last question. For anyone who wants to become a paranormal investigator, what's the one thing that you tell them?
I tell them to be semi-skeptical of everything that they see. The paranormal world is definitely not what's shown to be, or like, there's just a big misconception in the paranormal world, mm-hmm. and that you need to figure stuff out for yourself. There are things that are going to work for you that may not work for other people, and you're going to learn that along the way.
I like it. That's awesome advice.
That's good advice.
I like that. That little jiggle she did at the end.
House of Honors, she's doing the happy dance.
She is.
This is my third interview.
Oh, we weren't number one?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes things.
You were going to be, and then something happened.
I'll let you know when we can put this out. I'm not sure.
And then we had to reschedule.
No, we did, yeah.
And then actually, at the beginning of this week, a kid reached out to me and said, do you want to do an interview tomorrow for my YouTube channel? And I was like, heck yeah, I want to do an interview. Yeah. So I did that one. And then I think I posted about it. And then somebody was like, do you want to do an interview for my channel? And I was like, yeah, I want to do an interview. So I did one 2 days ago. And then I did one last week. And somebody reached out and they want to do one on Monday. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Do all the interviews. Well, I don't want to keep you anymore, but I do appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime that you want to have, just let me know so that way I can pencil it in. I can be like, don't bother me at this time. Don't do it stuff.
You're just going to change it again anyway, Chris, so I'm just going to pencil you in.
No, it's okay. I completely understand being busy. I was like, does he want to do the interview or not? And then I was like, well, I'm guessing because I haven't heard from him. Probably doesn't want to.
No, we do.
I probably seen my Ouija board thing and went, screw that. We're not.
No, that made him actually. It's like, oh, we definitely need to get her now.
We have to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, hurry before she like stops doing this whole paranormal thing because of the Ouija board altogether.
Or like I die mysteriously.
Ouch.
Oh, why would you say that?
I'm glad she said it and I didn't, because I was thinking it.
I just like come up missing and everybody's like, yeah, she was messing with the Ouija board. Don't do that.
It's strange. She moved from paranormal to true crime. What happened?
What happened? That'd be bad.
Even darkness is positive for Amber.
Right?
House of Haunters, if you're listening, you want to get Amber on your podcast, on your show, on your YouTube channel, reach out to her. She's a fucking delight. Yes. And Amber, where can they find you?
I am on Facebook and on Instagram. My name for both of those is Amberlyn_0221. My YouTube channel, it's Ambers with a Z at the end of that, Asylum. And they're all linked together. So if you find one, you'll more than likely be able to jump to the other ones.
Yeah, go check it out.
Thank you.
Amber, will you be willing to come back after your ghost world tour and let us know what's going on?
My ghost world tour.
Hey, pump it up. Hype it up. That's what I do.
The world tour.
World tour. Where are you going? Just around my neighborhood. But it's, you know, it's my world. So.
Exactly. World tour.
But yes, I would be willing to come back anytime, any day, as long as I can work into the schedule with the kids.
Perfect. Thank you very much for being here. We truly appreciate it. Your energy is so positive. It's so awesome. Keep up the good work. How's it, Honors? Go watch your channel. Go follow Amber.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was Amber, everybody. What a great interview. I had a lot of fun.
I did too. It was so much fun talking to her.
Positive energy. She's all about the positive energy, and I think she brought it to our podcast.
She really did.
If you want to experience some of that positive energy, How's It Haunters, go check out Amber's YouTube channel. It's Amber's with a Z Asylum. Go show her some support. And the one thing you don't have to check out, How's It Haunters, is the news, because we have someone that brings the paranormal news to you.
I'm already giggling before you play it.
Ghost and shit. I play that every 5 minutes just to keep her in a good mood. What do we have in the news this week?
So this week, I'm excited to see so much love given to paranormal investigators. It's something I rarely see. News covering paranormal investigators. This week, there was 3 different paranormal investigators that were highlighted in the news. The 3 different groups are Paranormal Spectrum Investigation in Vancouver, BC, High Spirits of Palmerton Paranormal from Carbon County, and then Sioux City Para 911. I kind of like that name though, Para 911.
Do we call them for emergencies only, or can we call them? I want to, because it sounds very urgent.
It does sound very urgent, like, right?
What's wrong? A dish fell. That's not an emergency. Only call me when you have an emergency.
They actually did this. It's kind of cute. They have this vehicle. And it looks like an ambulance, but in red. And in front of it, they had a sign, and it had the Ghostbuster sign on it. And I thought that was cute. So
that's cute, but that's like borderline trademark infringement.
It wasn't on the car. It was like a poster on the side or something. Oh, so, well,
it's going to be cute until they find themselves in court. So what do they get recognized for?
They're just recognized for helping out people in the community. High Spirits of Palmerton Paranormal, they don't charge people that they help.
Oh, wow.
These people are trying to help. Obviously, if you're calling a paranormal investigator, it's not just like a simple tap on your back. You're having some real issues. Mm-hmm. So they just want to help out their community.
Good job, guys. Like, they fucking listen.
In the UK, 12 people were actually fined doing paranormal investigation because they're in lockdown, and
all right,
they got caught trespassing, and there was 3 different groups that they were able to catch. So in total, 12 people got fines. That's kind of why we always talk about not wanting to do like the whole trespassing. You have the living people and then police and stuff. So
yeah, trespassing, police, that doesn't work out too well.
No,
I prefer to trespass when there's no police around.
So yeah, unfortunately that happened.
I'm going to be the laziest investigator there is, because I'm going to go up and the sign's going to say no trespassing. Well, that's the end of today's show. Lena, let's go home. I know you think like nobody's around and stuff, but apparently someone was around and they were the cops. They called the cops. So yeah. Unfortunate for them, but fortunately for us, paranormal news.
Did you know that Oregon has a ghost conference?
They have a ghost conference?
An annual ghost conference.
So every year they get a bunch of ghosts in one room?
They get a bunch of ghost enthusiasts.
Ah, okay.
Like us.
That's awesome. No, I did not know. Is that coming up or?
This year it was done via Zoom, and he held a seance. So this gentleman, Rocky Smith, is in charge of it, and he has this 5-year contract to keep it in Seaside, Oregon. He had a whole seance via Zoom. I kind of would like to see this. Have you heard of people doing seances over Zoom?
I would assume it's like a typical conference, but yeah, I'm having a little trouble thinking about the whole seance thing, because don't you have to like be in a circle and hold hands and stuff for this thing? I've never had a seance.
I've never done a seance. Yeah. I mean, we're taking at a seance, maybe probably movie theatrical type seance.
And we all know that everything in the movies is true.
But guess what? He is having another one.
Really?
Put in your calendar 2022, next year, March 25th, 26th, and 27th.
So can anybody join? Because it's Zoom, so obviously you can't unless you have the link.
I don't think he's going to be doing Zoom next year. He's hoping to be able to have people come in and do the whole thing. It doesn't say like it's only open for a small group of people. Looks like we might have somewhere to go next year.
All right. Well, you can report live from Oregon. I'll be waving to you from California.
Bye, Chris.
2030, I'll be there. What else you got?
Have you ever heard of the Museum of Shadows?
No.
It's in Omaha, Nebraska. So this is supposed to be one of the most haunted museums in the world, with the largest collection of verified haunted artifacts. They're saying over 3,000 artifacts make up this museum.
And every single one of these artifacts is haunted.
That's what they say. There's a small video online. It shows one of the dolls doing some extra movement. If I lived close, I'd go, but it's a little distance from me here.
Yeah, I'm not going. If I'm ever in that area, I would go visit this haunted museum.
Right? They say you'll see human skulls, Ouija boards, trinkets, coffins, and other artifacts that are tied to murders.
Oh, wow.
Omaha, Nebraska, Museum of Shadows.
Hey, Houses Haunters, if anyone is in that area, check this museum out. Send us some pictures. Email them. You can email them to Lena.
Oh, that's right. I have an email address.
You do have an email address now.
I do. So look from now on. Look at you doing a nice segue right there.
Oh, I'll try my best.
You caught me off guard.
I was trying to be surprised by the whole thing and let it flow, you know, and then you pointed it out. Way to go. We'll have a new segment called Let's Point Out the Segways. Where can they send them, Lena?
You can send them to Lena, and that's L-E-N-A, at howsithaunting.com.
There you go. So what else you got?
So remember I told you that Paranormal Activity is coming up with this whole new movie?
Yeah.
I already hear the yeah.
Sorry, Amber. I'm not a fan.
Neither am I. But for some reason, this is everywhere. Like, I guess because of everything that's happening in the world right now, they delayed it. And then they came out with, oh, they're going to have these new people. These are the new cast members, blah, blah, blah. But now it's not even going to have a theatrical release.
Well, that's good news.
Paramount Plus. No release date yet. At least it has a platform to be released on, because they weren't going to do it through a theater. So good job on them for being able to get that platform.
You know, I'm all for that, because I'd rather go to Paramount Plus than to go to a movie, because I'm going to watch it. You know, I'm going to watch it.
As am I, because I've seen them all.
Yeah, you kind of have to. I'm committed. We're pot committed at this point. It's like a new one's coming out, gotta watch it. And then we can form an opinion later. I won't go in hating it. I'll just say the world probably doesn't need another Paranormal Activity movie. But if you're going to make it, that's what got me suckered into Justice League. The first one, not the 4-hour one. You know, I should have a podcast on movies alone so I can just get out all my gripes, but probably won't ever happen. But I'm not against it. I can go downstairs and watch it in my PJs.
Right?
Like I do everything else nowadays.
Yeah, but I don't have it downstairs. I just do like 4 steps and I'm in the front room.
So. See, even better. Less distance. That's not that far.
It just means it's a little easier that
downstairs
way.
Is far. I watch everything in my PJs now. I watch my grass grow. I watch my kids.
The grass doesn't like over here. It doesn't really grow too well.
I didn't say it was growing well. I just said it grew. What else we got?
Hannah Mae Lee has a paranormal experience when she was filming Pitch Perfect.
I'll have to look her up. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just excited.
No, it's okay. You are, because this is your favorite thing. You love when anyone that has any clout comes out and says, I had a paranormal experience.
Yeah, if you were ever in a movie, I mean, anyone at all, the janitor from Saved by the Bell could say, I had a paranormal experience. He was on TV, so I want to know what this was.
But are you saying anyone who's been in a movie? Because like extras, there's a ton of extras that have been in movies.
Anyone. If you're the kind of person that's putting themselves out there for whatever creative process that you're going through, singer, YouTuber, podcaster, anybody out there that just wants to put themselves in the public eye to a certain degree, that has a paranormal experience, and you want to come and tell me about it, I'm all for that.
My paranormal experience was being an extra in a movie, but that's different.
Yeah, Lena was an extra in a movie. She was an extra. And what was the name of that movie again?
I don't think you can see me because I never went back to watch it.
Yeah, that's not the question I asked you, lady. Let's stay on topic here. Don't think that I'm just going to let that go and let the House of Honors know.
The only reason why you love this concept is because I stood next to your boy.
Batfleck.
Ben Affleck. That boy is tall.
Well, he's like 6'4", 6'2".
Oh my God, he's so tall. Like I was literally like a couple feet away from him.
Do not look at Matt or Ben in the eye or else you'll be fired.
He's super nice. He was great
he helped the extras making all the extra noises that you have to do when you're walking. He was out there participating with this and doing all of that. He was amazing. And it was so hot and we were pretending like it was winter with snow, even though it was like 90 degrees in Southern California.
Million dollar question. Did you tell him that he was the bomb in Phantoms?
I didn't talk to him.
I would have done it anyway. I would have shouted across the room.
Professional.
Fuck all that.
I know. I never did another extra ever.
That's probably why I'm not invited to any of those sets. They're like, no, we can see you coming a mile away, buddy. So what's the name of this movie?
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Why? You didn't make it. You're just an extra.
Surviving Christmas.
Surviving Christmas. House of Honors. Go find, watch Surviving Christmas and see if you can see Lena's elbow.
I don't think you can find me.
In a scene.
I doubt it. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see me at all, even though I walk. We did like several, because they do use the extras if you're going one way, and then they do another scene with the extras going the opposite way. So it makes it look like there's more people. And it's really just the same extras.
If you can find Lena in this movie, send an email. I'll send you stickers.
What you're going to get is crickets. Because I'm sure I'm not in it. I had never seen it, but I'm sure I'm not in it. You can't see me.
Just send me the time you are into the movie, where I can find her. If you say, I don't know what Lena looks like, her picture is on our House It Haunting Instagram. So go there, see what she looks like, watch the movie, get me a timestamp, send me an email, you get stickers. So what else you got?
We still haven't talked about Hannah Mae Lee. It was your excitement about anyone talking about paranormal that has a platform.
Yeah, I love that, because one of my favorite shows is Celebrity Ghost Stories.
Oh, I love Celebrity Ghost Stories.
See, there you go. So fingers crossed that we get some of these celebrities on our podcast.
Dreams and goals right there.
Always set those goals. Bar high. Yeah, set the bar high.
The actress opened up about her paranormal activity that she recalls. Well, she shot the first Pitch Perfect film.
You know, me liking Pitch Perfect is kind of paranormal.
That is paranormal. But for her to be able to come out and say, hey, this happened back in 2011 when I filmed the original.
So she's on location. She's filming this movie. Mm-hmm. She has an experience to the point where
she gets physically ill.
She gets physically ill.
Uh-huh.
And then 10 years later, she's like, oh, hey, by the way. Or maybe she just felt, you know what? I've heard these stories before here. Maybe that was a paranormal experience I had. You know, who's to say?
Absolutely. I'm just excited. Someone with a platform talking about paranormal. You know, what do we say?
Making discussing the paranormal normal. All right. So what else you got?
A spooked city council refuses ghost hunters in Gillett Hall. They know there's something there, right? They're spooked on it. So this paranormal investigators come in and say, hey, we'll go ahead and investigate this place. You know, verify what you're saying. And the city council goes, no, their reason? I'm wary whether we need a group of people coming in and telling us something that will frighten the local community and upset them.
There's an issue. The city council's like, yeah, we have an issue. The investigators are like, you know what? We'll take care of your issue. We'll help you out. And the city council's like, no. We don't want to disturb our community. Mm-hmm. So the local news thought it'd be a good idea to say, let's run a story about the city council who knows that there's a problem with spirits or ghosts or what have you, and them say, no, we don't want to disturb anybody. I mean, what part of this is it just me?
Like, I was just shocked that that's a story. Like,
how can that leak out as news? Someone in the city council was like, no, I want help. And this is what they did. They're like, I need to call the local news to tell, right? To report this. Yeah, that's definitely an inside job.
I thought it was funny. I was like, wait, you know how many people are denied access into investigating places? Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah, it's called trespassing. Somebody wanted this story to show up, because if it was a local investigator, they'd be like, oh, well, I'll move on to the next case.
So we'll see. I want to see if there's an update on this spooked city council refuse ghost hunters investigated.
We'll keep you posted. What else you got?
You know Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I think every House of Haunter knows the name.
I hope every House of Haunter knows.
If you do not know the name and Lorraine Warren, and you're listening to this podcast right now,
under a certain age,
stop. No, no. If you do not know the name Ed, very important people here. Paranormal royalty.
Yeah.
Paranormal. If you don't know the names, stop the podcast right now. Google it.
Research. Annabelle, you know, Conjuring. They had a little girl, and she's actually coming out and talking about, you know, her life with them. I honestly forget that they had that child. What movie was it that they did show that they had a kid?
Well, she was featured in the last movie.
So imagine growing up as the daughter of these two icons
she says she didn't tell anyone who her mom and dad were. Like, she was like, I don't say what they did. I didn't talk about them.
Well, if you saw the last movie, then you'd realize why.
I mean, imagine your childhood. I mean, to have the Annabelle. So if you're interested, go to YouTube, warnerbrothers.me, The Conjuring, The Real Lorraine Warren featurette, listening to Judy's telling us her life story.
I wrote that down because I want to go look this up. As soon as you said the daughter of Ed and Lorraine Warren, I'm in. Where's her movie?
It's basically like the fly on the wall type of thing.
Yeah, if she had her story in the last movie, the last Conjuring universe based movie, but that was a small story from when she was a kid. And if her entire life as their daughter has those events, she definitely deserves her own movie. Unless she's holding out for more money. So that could be.
I mean, I wouldn't blame her.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. Like, oh, you want to hear something? Well, sit around and break out those $100 bills.
Right?
I bet she gets paid like in the millions. Might as well.
I mean, stories are worth it.
Yeah. And then all of her friends are like, you know, we get those stories every Saturday night. All you got to do is give her a couple drinks. That's how my life would be. Like, why pay him for that? Just give him a couple beers. He'll start blabbing.
I was going to say that about me. I was like, give me some alcohol. I'll tell you all the stories.
And we got to start keeping those to ourselves. Maybe one day we'll have a movie deal. What do you got next?
And finally, our last story for this week. Netflix put out an official trailer for this film called The Dead Places. A gentleman, Will Stone, returns to South Africa to write a new book. His research leads him to some of South Africa's most haunted places and deadly supernatural creatures. As of right now, Netflix doesn't have a release date.
That sounds interesting. I'm going to have to go check that out. I had no idea this trailer was out there. But then again, that's why I like paranormal news.
Because you don't have to do any research.
Hey, you know what? You're not wrong. You know, if you can't have a podcast that's self-serving, what is
then
there?
Then why have a podcast?
Exactly. Well, before we end our news, Lena, where's my monolith?
Well, there was a sighting at the end of March.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I wish I was, but yep, the end of March, there was a lovely sighting in Spain.
This is an ongoing thing?
I thought it stopped. Not so much.
There you go. How's it honors? These monoliths are still popping up. Not paranormal, but they're still popping up.
Paranormal, that's still a thing.
Still a thing.
That, how's it honors, is the end of the news.
Ghosts and shit. Once again, never fails. It never fails. So that How's It Honors brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Amber, for being here.
Thank you, Amber. That was such a great interview. It was so nice to have you on.
And since this week we had a guest and I have no stories, I still have no stories.
And I have no stories.
How's It Honors, if you have stories or topic ideas, Lena, where can they find us?
They find us on our social media at Instagram or Twitter at How's It Haunting, or send an email to howsithaunting@gmail.com. Hey, How's It Honors, you can now email chris@howsithaunting.com. Go ahead and send them all the emails you want.
You
want
to play that game? You can also email Lena directly, lena@howsithaunting.com. Have fun. Maybe you can get a free sticker out of her. Who knows?
Who knows?
Because what do we want to ask them?
How's it haunting? Okay, start again.